Welcome to the Underground, the Steel City Underground, the black and gold standard for Pittsburgh Steelers coverage. Now, here's your host, Joe Kuzma and Brian E. Roach.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Steel City Underground podcast. My name is Joe Kuzma, and I am joined here by my good colleague and friend, returning Mr. Brian E. Roach. What's going on, Brian?
How you doing?
You got to say something. Not everybody can see everything. People are probably wondering what the heck is going on. It's April Fool's Day. I got the backwards cap going. This is the old... Tony Romo was still sporting this, but he used to have the starter caps with the nice logo in the front. But we actually got the we got the draft hats, and it was funny because we pull up the video here, and we were both like that Spider-Man meme, like pointing at each other.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, geez. I'm like, I was going to wear mine backwards. Maybe I'll wear it backwards. So Brian goes and wears his backwards. I said, you know what? It's April Fool's Day. I don't even know if this thing's on straight. I don't really care. It's April Fool's Day. It's WrestleMania week and the weekend. It's like a holiday, and I know you don't care, but I've got my Bret Hart shirt. Hey, okay, go ahead, turn it around. Brian's not going to hear my little wrestling. You got to hear the wrestling spiel here, man. Bret the Hitman
Hart. I'm allowed to completely ignore that.
He was the best there is, the best there was, the best there ever will be, just like the Pittsburgh Steelers, man. So, a lot of classic Steelers. Now you actually look like Goodell might give you a hug, maybe a little smooch on the cheek up on the stage. Looking
there
good,
you go.
Man. Yeah.
I don't want him to smooch me.
You believe there are people that didn't like this year's draft hat? And it's not to shill it, but, you know.
Yeah, this is the only, like, you and I both have a billion hats, right? I have a billion hats upstairs. This is the only draft hat I own because it's the first time I actually liked
it. I didn't mind, like, the previous years. They always try and incorporate, like, different colors or something, which is okay because that means more Steelers stuff goes with... I don't know. No, it doesn't, because everything in my wardrobe is black and gold, practically. I was just having this conversation, I think, with Zach. Zach's got the T-shirt game on point, let me tell you, if you haven't been paying attention. And trust me, we're all going to get on the horn here. We're going to have some fun. And today's all about some fun. If you haven't been on SteelCityUnderground.com, we broke the big news that really made Brian upset. And this really is, this will be mostly an April Fool's show. We do have a few things to toss in here. I guess maybe we should go with some real news real quick. Jannard Avery and Carl Joseph got signed.
Yes, they did.
Bada boom. Okay, yeah, there you go.
End of that story.
Yeah, well, a little bit. Jannard Avery's been bouncing around, but he can pretty much play anywhere at linebacker. Now, I asked the professor this because I was like, well, you know, he's more the PFF guy. I hadn't paid attention to Jannard Avery playing backup role with the Eagles. I'm thinking more special teams, but I'm like, is he going to play edge? I'm like, he could play edge. He's been an outside linebacker. He's been an inside linebacker. Then he's been like one of the 4-3 outside linebackers. It's just like, I don't know where he's actually going to fit into this puzzle, but I'm assuming edge is where it'll be, because they got a plethora of guys at inside linebacker. Carl Joseph will not be the starting Steelers safety. Everybody that was looking at that, there's some April Fools before that even happened. People thought because he was signed and Tyrann Mathieu wasn't going to sign or something, and he's still hanging around and he's saying all kinds of nonsense today too. You can't take anyone at face value. But David Njoku, did you see this one by any chance?
Oh no,
he was asking for a trade.
Earlier
today from the Browns, yeah, but it was fake. And Spotrac, the competitor to Over the Cap, so they do all of the sports contract reporting as well. And they said the real April Fool would be any team giving up draft compensation for an $11 million tight end with 150 catches in 5 years. And I was like, wow, okay, man. Somebody had gotten, and that's what had happened. And he changed his name on here as Chief David Njoku, and he had gotten Ian Rappaport, who had immediately retweeted it and didn't have enough coffee. So this is a good thing. Me and the Flash, we're coffee guys. So Ian Rappaport, maybe not a coffee guy, didn't get enough. He got fooled.
Can I tell you that I'm off the caffeine? I've been now for 3 weeks.
Wow.
Haven't had a Red Bull in 3 weeks. suffered through the withdrawal headaches that were beyond brutal. Didn't get shakes or anything like that, but the headaches, man, killer. But have been basically just doing the water beverage and no caffeine.
Good for you, man. Can you do straight up water, or do you have to do like the little packets, like something like a Crystal Light, or I like the Hawaiian
Punch
ones.
I don't do the packets. I do the Poland Springs or the Deer Park. I call them fruity waters, the twist of whatever.
Okay.
Because I like the carbonation. I like the bubbly. This has got anything to do with anything. I like the texture of the bubbles in my mouth. So, you know, they make me feel like I'm drinking a soda that I wouldn't be drinking anyway because I don't drink soda at all anymore. But they give me that youthful feeling of drinking soda.
You know, I think some of the servers, when I go out to eat, think maybe I'm just being cheap or something.
Water with lemon.
Yeah, but I just don't drink. I don't drink pop, and it is called pop. You know what I mean? If you're from this thing,
look, I grew up with it being called pop, but I've now been in the East Coast longer, so it's soda.
No, that's unacceptable. So, anyways, Brian, the fun one. We go into some April Fools. Our annual. Sometimes we have more than one. We tried to trade Mike Tomlin one year. One of my favorite ones was this COVID stuff that started in 2020. Things were locked down around the, you know, April 2020. And I said Ben was coming back rehabbing after being out the full year. And I had a photo straight out of Rocky IV with Sylvester Stallone, like in Russia, in Mother Russia, like in the snow and everything, pulling the poly on the sled. And people didn't even realize that the image that was used for that was from Rocky IV.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite ones. But you know what? This one actually bears a little bit of discussion. And there's going to be much gnashing of the teeth from Mr. Roach over here because this year's Hall of Honor, class of 2022, first inductee, Neil O'Donnell.
No.
I wouldn't tell Brian what the joke was.
Immediately invalidates it as the Hall of Dishonor. No, 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 no. And I will not say his name. I will not say his name.
Hey, quarterbacks are all – now listen to this. Bill Cowher tried to get Neil to come back before they drafted Ben Roethlisberger. He could have come full circle. And it would have been amazing. He could have been like the GOAT of Steelers quarterbacks. He's like ranked third or fourth in a whole bunch of things like career wins, passing yards. Did you know this little tidbit? And we were just holding everything against him because of Super Bowl 30. That's like,
no, it's not even. That's not the only reason.
Because he left for the Jets.
The championship games the year earlier is just as bad and just as egregious as the Super Bowl.
He made a Pro Bowl. He made a Pro Bowl the one year here. The first year he started, 92, I think.
Yeah, I think
or second,
so.
Second
yeah.
year. He was drafted in 90. He sat a year behind Bubby. I'm making my argument for this in this article. I wonder how many people will take this serious. There was a lot of laughing emojis out here. But I found out something in doing this, in trying to make it serious, and you know it's complete happy, you know, BS. I said O'Donnell remains a franchise great. He's currently fourth all-time in passing yards, which is nearly half as many in 5 years as Terry Bradshaw had in 14. I can't even say it with a straight face. He's tied for second with the most 300-yard passing games, fourth in attempts, completions, and touchdowns, and has the second highest QB rating in team history, second only to Ben Roethlisberger. But here's now that's actually kind of it sounds more impressive than how many Steelers quarterbacks have had that many attempts, though. You know what I mean? It's basically It's Terry Bradshaw. Obviously, Ben holds everything. He's been around 18 seasons. Terry played four. 14. Well, he was on the roster 14. I know he missed that one year almost entirely. But aside from that point, it was like Cordell Stewart, Neil O'Donnell. Who else you get a name? I mean, it's not like Bubby put up big numbers. Nobody else really got those shots. So,
yep.
This is where everybody's freaking out. I almost thought about April Fool's with Baker Mayfield. But I'll get to that in a second. Here's the thing I learned about Neil O'Donnell. When he ended his career, he had the lowest interception percentage in NFL history. Although that's all we remember is Larry Brown, the Dallas Cowboys, and then getting signed to some ludicrous contract with the Raiders after that. But that's averaging 2.1% interceptions for every 100 pass attempts. And the record's been passed by Aaron Rodgers and are several other current players. I think Tom Brady's there, Patrick Mahomes, maybe a few others right now that are all in that category. But at the time, that he retires. And we're only talking like, you know, mid-2000s. He finally hung it up, bounced around the league a little bit. Yeah, had a stint with the Bengals. Oh, here's another fun fact, too. And that's pretty impressive, actually, even though that's all we think about that, the AFC Championship, the one playoff game before that, actually, too. He had a stinker, like a 36 quarterback rating. He was not a postseason performer at times. The funny thing is, I said that they have yet to give another quarterback the number 14 with the Steelers. They have – he's another unofficial retired jersey, Brian.
Unofficially retired because no one wants that mojo. No one wants that curse on their back.
Now, wait a second. You want to know who actually has worn that number? I should pull up the full thing. I have it somewhere. We'll see if I can find it. Off the top of my head, Sammy Coates.
I thought Sammy actually had worn that jersey.
Yes. Hold on. I'll find the others. And I do believe Lima Swede is on here as well, having worn number 14. Let's see. Most pass attempts, most pass. He has a bunch of Three Rivers Stadium records, too, which is he's an impressive guy. Went 10-4, 9-3, 9-6. And by the way, here's another statistic most people don't know about the guy that we always say shall not be named. We can only name him today because it's April Fool's Day. And
you still won't do it.
You go through a whole tube of toothpaste and a whole thing of mouthwash, maybe two.
Can't do it.
He actually got signed to a contract, a pretty big contract. He was making like double Rod Woodson was. He was the highest paid player on the team. He was making more, double Rod Woodson at one point. Like, how insane is that? Like, that's just
insane.
It really is insane. It really is some interesting stuff. So, as I'm still trying to find the numbers. Here we go. Ray McLeod, Tevin Jones, Sammy Coates, Derek Moy, Lima Swede, Tom Rowan, and Shane Edge have all worn 14 since. So it has not been the most prolific jersey number for a player to choose.
Well, let me just – I think this now alleviates the blame for Lima Swede from anybody other than the jersey. This is – do we want to know why Lima was bad? There you go. Now you know. It's the mojo of 14.
And, maybe it came from Todd Blackledge right before that. Maybe it really wasn't Neil's fault. Anyways,
you can't wash the stink off of that jersey.
I thought about doing something with Baker Mayfield and just pulling everyone's chain. And I said, you know what? It's such clickbait to begin with that no people will actually believe this. Like the real April Fool's joke is thinking that the Steelers would just pounce, and it comes from one of the Cleveland beat writers of all people. Mary Kay Cabot. And, you know, we complain about some of the Steelers beat. Just some of the stuff that comes from her is pretty sensational in and of itself. But of that, I'm like, yeah, you know what? Why not? Let's throw onto this. You might be able to find some, or you may have seen some too, off the top of my head too. Some recent headlines, Brian, and you could decide as to whether or not These are real. These people actually said this, or if this is straight up April Fools. One of the first ones, as soon as I pull up Twitter, the Pittsburgh Steelers, we have released Cam Hayward.
That's no.
It's baloney, but it's on Cam's profile right now. If you were to look it up, the problem is when we bring up somebody like Pony. Andrew Filippone from KDK 93.7 The Fan.
Look, Pony thinks it's April Fool's Day every single day of the year.
Oh, man. So, did Andrew Filippone, he says Ben Roethlisberger, based on Ben Roethlisberger night the other night this week, the Pittsburgh Penguins did a big tribute to Big Ben. He got to do the puck drop. They were wearing warm-ups with number 7 and his name on the back. All cool stuff. Played Renegade. Yep. Wish I could have attended. Didn't work with the schedule. But Pony says, look at how great shape Ben is in. Don't you think he's going to make a return? He's going to come out of retirement?
No, he is not. Absolutely not. And I'm completely baloney.
This was like Tuesday, and it's like, Really? And he tried to run a poll. Of course, Bruce Arians, not April Fool's joke, steps right. down. And I guess there's a loophole nobody knew about with personnel. So Todd Bowles, you know, we're talking, they've got all these, now you've got the minority and women. I actually wonder how many teams don't have a minority or female offensive assistant, but you have the mandate that's in there, and all of this comes out, and then all of a sudden it's like, well, did they interview enough people to do whatever with Bruce Arians? And I guess there's just a loophole where they could promote him. And that would have been the same thing if Sean Payton would have stepped down after whatever, the beginning of the league year or whatever. It has to deal with the way you actually can interview or talk to other coaches. That it's like locked in, you know what I mean? And then you have to have permission. So like if Mike Tomlin walked away right now, they could just name Matt Canada as replacement, for example, if they wanted to.
Right.
But in order to go and, let's say, talk to a Todd Bowles with another team, then you got to get all this different permission. It's a big to-do.
It's more complicated. Yes.
A lot of legalese. But Bruce Arians, he ran the poll, better coach, Bruce Arians or Mike Tomlin. And who do you think won that poll?
I would bet that Bruce Arians won that poll, and it's illegitimate and stupid.
No, actually, 3,000 votes, 74% for Mike Tomlin.
There you go. Shocked. I will give props to the fan base for not being morons.
Especially the people who follow Pony.
Yes.
Yeah.
Although maybe they just voted that way as contrarians because they knew Pony was probably slanting it in his mind the other way.
He might have, but come on, Bruce Arians, this isn't even an April Fool's joke.
Right.
Okay, yeah, recency bias, he got a Super Bowl. Before that season and with Tom Brady and the All-Star team coming aboard, the guy had won one playoff game in an overtime game with Larry Fitzgerald running the ball like 80 yards, on a little a dink-and-dunk pass. Here we go. I got a good one for you here, too. How about Tyrann Mathieu saying Mike Tomlin, he talks to Mike Tomlin regularly. This one's not an April Fool's joke.
That's not an April Fool's joke. It won't surprise me if that is in fact the case. Tomlin's going to keep his you know, but I don't think it means much of anything, to be honest with you.
Yeah, he talks to him. Maybe he talked to him before that. They have themselves on speed dial. Who knows? Again, football's family. It's a large community. Yada yada yada. I got one more that was from Pony, and this was the one that was like, are you kidding me, dude? And he had said, would you trade Diontae Johnson to the Packers for a first round pick?
And somebody else tweeted that exact, like, not that scenario, but the, would you trade Diontae Johnson for a first round pick anywhere? I don't remember who it was. I saw it earlier this morning. And the answer is, of course you would, depending on where the first round pick is. Of course you would. Why? As you mentioned so knowledgeably and worldly and full of football joy and happiness in the back rooms of Steel City Underground. He's got 1 year left on his contract. If you can get a first round pick for him, fine.
Sorry, buddy. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, hey, great. Thank you. Thank you for your service. We'll take that first round pick and we'll run with it.
Again, the rumor on the street is $15 million a year is what he's looking for, which isn't Tyreek Hill money, but it's still, it's up there. It's, you know, we're talking, it is wide receiver one money. So that versus the opportunity now, the Packers, now this scenario was the Packers, but just in general, I said, yeah, I mean, it's a first round pick. So, and if the Steelers were really in love with like a quarterback, then maybe that gives them some ammunition to do some different things. But geez, I mean, that gives you a pretty good chance to just grab a wide receiver in the first round. That would then be at least 4 years on a rookie deal. That's far cheaper, far more cap friendly. Does he have the same upside or skill set or whatever as Diontae Johnson? There's a lot of fans that are out on him, which is kind of stupid because I see these lists. Here's an April Fool's for you. People that they rank things in the AFC North, for example. And I saw a wide receiver list that didn't even have a Steelers wide receiver on it. It had two of the Bengals. So it had obviously Ja'Marr Chase with one fantastic rookie year. Let's hope he could keep that one going. And I think he will. There's no doubt. Plus he has his, you know, he has that chemistry with Burrow. But then T. Higgins, Amari Cooper, and Hollywood Brown. And I'm just like, Wow, there's some disrespect. You would think you could at least pick one guy from each team. You're throwing T. Higgins up there. And I'm sorry, it's nothing. I think the Bengals have a decent core of wide receivers there. He had a 1,000-yard season, caught 74 balls for 6 touchdowns. Like, okay, that's pretty cool. So you go to Deontay Johnson, who had more yards, 1,161, more receptions, 107, 8 touchdowns, and made the Pro Bowl. But yeah, T. Higgins is better. It's not even April Fools. It's like end of March Fools, March Madness.
Yeah. Look, I think I've stated often what my issues with Deontay are. I love him. I love him. I think he's an awesome route runner. I think he's great. I think he gives up on plays too early sometimes. I think he doesn't protect his quarterback sometimes when he should fight for the ball and just doesn't. But is he better than T. Higgins? Yeah, I think so. Is he better than he might be better than Amari Cooper right now. I don't know. Did Amari Cooper impress the crap out of me last year? No. But is he terrible? No. Do we all agree that Amari Cooper is a good receiver? I don't know. That's an iffy one for me. Yeah, he's not as good as Jamar Chase. Look, based on one season, I get it. But the dude is a beast. He's not as good as him. I'm just going to say that up front. Who was the other guy they had ranked higher?
Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, and Hollywood Brown.
Hollywood Brown?
You want to talk about dropping the football?
Get the hell out of here.
You want to talk about dropping the football? There's a guy. Chris Collinsworth, I'm bringing him in April Fool's too, might as well. Here is a guy that drops the football a ton. Like, I know Deontay got that label like 2 seasons ago, and again, recency bias, a drop or two.
Comes in inopportune times. That's the real problem. The drops come at inopportune times now. They're lessened. He had a much better season from the drop standpoint last year than he did the year before, which was absolutely brutal. But it's the context of those drops that's a problem.
Yeah. And speaking of Brown and supposedly his distant cousin, let's see, is this on? I know you know the answer to this, but this is more or less for our viewers and listeners. Tom Pelissero, did he tweet this out and get this right? Free agent wide receiver Antonio Brown tells TMZ Sports he still hasn't undergone ankle surgery and won't unless a team commits to signing him.
I bet that's actually correct. To me, that's probably true. He's like, why should I pay for it? I'm going to wait till somebody's going to pay for it for me.
He's just it just doesn't cease to amaze you, does it? Like, the
some human beings are a fool no matter what day of the week it is or time of the year.
Yeah, and you should have seen this. There was a really, really good one too that came out. It was a meme where they took Antonio Brown, where he takes all the gear off in Tampa walking off the field, and they put Bruce Arians on it. Doing like a peace sign, walking out. Right,
that's good. That's some high quality H2O right there.
That is very much high quality. But there's still one more quote that came from this TMZ Sports report too, and I quote Ronald Ocean or whatever you want to call him. I still feel like I can put up big numbers and I see what these guys are getting paid. I just wonder why my value isn't being upheld as the same.
I absolutely believe he said that.
I mean, come on, bro. Like, okay, Antonio Brown.
Do I think it bears any reality check, and does it have any semblance of validity? No. But do I believe he said it? Absolutely.
Yeah, well, no, he did say it, and that's the crazier thing. So July 10th, he will be 34 years of age, well beyond the wall that we've talked about. He hasn't had a 1,000-yard season since he was last in Pittsburgh in 2018. Played with New England in 2019, appeared in one game. That was 4 catches on 8 targets for 56 yards and a touchdown. That one was, pretty long ball from Tom Brady, and everybody was like, oh, look, this is what it's going to look like. And then Tom brings him down to Tampa, brings him down to Florida, and he's still serving some suspension. And, you know, Bruce Arians has some history with him, and they bring him back, and he ends up getting a ring. 45 catches, 483 yards, 4 touchdowns. And last year he was mad about his incentives and whatnot. He appeared in 7 games, 42 catches, 545 with 4 TDs. And he actually had a pretty good yards per reception last year, 13, as opposed to 10.7 the year before. And, you know, he caught at least one touchdown in that Super Bowl, and it was just like gag, gasp. So I don't know, man. It's like this guy went from being legendary on the field to being legendary off the field, and now you got to wonder if he'll ever be immortalized in Canton. I mean, he was pretty much making his case to have a gold jacket. He's got over 12,000 career yards, 1,400 reception. He had like how many 100-yard seasons from – or 100 reception-plus seasons from 2013 all the way through 2018. Every one of those, the smallest there was 1,284 yards, multiple double-digit touchdown seasons. And now all of a sudden it's like, well, why isn't my value there? Well, bro, you're getting old and you've quit on every team or given everybody hassle for almost 5 years now.
And the way he did the last one, like the drama of the walk-off and the hurling of equipment into the stands and just all that. Look, I know desperation makes teams do dumb things sometimes, but you're talking a new level of some team really has to be reaching the bottom of the barrel at this point to reach out to Ronald Big Checks.
Yeah. You know what else I love? I love getting into. By the way, one of the other Steelers blogs out there, Jannard Avery is a versatile weapon for Brian Flores and the Steelers. It was like, hey, how much more stuff can we stuff into here? If Jannard Avery gets even 40 defensive snaps, I'm going to have to start. I'm going to put like my high low, my over unders on some of these things. It's like, this is just off-season speculation beyond speculation. Let's throw Brian Flores' name in there, even though he's just a position coach. He's not even a defensive coordinator or the head coach. But let's put it in there so it shows up on Google. Try and get it on the first page here. Some of the draft stuff, man, really gets me too. And I understand people don't want to celebrate Neil O'Donnell. They don't want to go back to the Neil O'Donnell days, but just one of these mock drafts, Brian, I mean, we may have even spoke about this. I'm not sure how far back this goes, but I know myself and The Flash did. Steelers trading up to number 12 in the draft to select a quarterback. Did you see this one? Do you remember who it was? Oh, you didn't. Want to take a stab at who put or who they mocked the Steelers trading up to 12 to get?
The Liberty guy.
Yeah, Malik Willis? No. No. Desmond Ridder.
What?
That's why I was wondering if you saw that one. Yeah. Yeah, you're talking about the hot takes. Let that one marinate for a minute. You might want to just say Neil's name instead.
UC is my alma mater to a certain extent. I mean, I quit, but, you know, that's where I went. but no. Okay, but
that's fine. I had to make fun of that take one more time. If the Steelers end up taking him at 20 or something, again, I sympathize with I'm going to go with their best judgment, whatever they see. A lot of people made fun of the Chargers for taking Justin Herbert. So, you know, I make fun of everybody for taking a quarterback because I look at these lists and most of these guys are all busts. And once Baker gets traded, how many of the quarterbacks taken in at least the last decade's worth of drafts are with their original team still? And still playing at a high level on top of that. I mean, you've seen Carson Wentz bounce around, Jameis Winston bounce around.
About Carson Wentz. Ooh, Jim Irsay. Woo!
Wow. Yeah. No filter there whatsoever.
Yeah. Whoa, man.
You got to wonder what really – I mean, I understand that he stunk up that last game. Was that game, like, of the Neil O'Donnell proportion to get him kicked out of there? I mean, we love – I said Carson Wentz had already got the Steelers to the playoffs. So we love him for that. But, wow, if you don't know what we're referring to, it's the Colts' monumental collapse playing at Jacksonville last year, who had, what, one win, two wins? Like, they were just – easily the worst team in football and made it look like they were, I don't know, the All-Madden team playing against the Colts. Like, Wentz just folded like your lawn furniture. More draft stuff. I don't want to go into quarterbacks. We got so much to talk about that. But there will be more here just because there are people who are so fixated on who Mike Tomlin and Kevin Colbert have visited or seen with pro days. Now, they didn't get to see Sam Howell on a pro day, but that didn't preclude this person from putting him as one of the five quarterbacks on the list as their potential first-round picks. It's like, I guess you can't be wrong if you put every quarterback that's out there. Malik Willis, Desmond Ridder, Kenny Pickett, Matt Corral, Sam Howell. And then wide receiver, just Jameson Williams. Just one wide receiver, Brian. You think that's really the case? Like, I know the Steelers like their second and third round wide receivers, but would that like really sway them? Like, because they didn't go to Ohio State's pro day. You think that sways them from taking Ohio State players?
No.
That doesn't make any sense. Ohio State, like Alabama, Clemson, Georgia, you know, you've got like a handful of teams here to produce a large percentage of the players that are in the pro pool for all these rosters. I just don't see. That almost seems like an April Fool's to me.
What it would indicate to me is that they're gonna, they've done their due diligence on those players at the, and will do more due diligence as time goes by. But they did it at the combine. They handled what they wanted to handle. They saw what they want, and that they don't anticipate any of those people being around when they are going to draft it. You know, in the positions that they are targeting, right? You know, so you're talking about Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave more than anybody else on that, in that roster of group of draft potentials as far as first round guys. They probably aren't going to be there, and they don't look to draft wide receivers in the first round. What was the last one? Maybe it was one of the real bust guys, but I thought I would have, like, off the top of my head, it would have been Santonio Holmes.
Yeah. Well, and number one, first round pick. Yeah. It was Santonio for sure.
Yeah. And I'm like, that's, you're talking a long time ago at this point. They just don't do it. Because they're good at finding value and good quality receivers later in the draft. And drafts are absolutely loaded with quality wide receivers anymore. Yeah, I mean, you know, you get the true studs that, you know, are going to be around, but you're not falling off that much in the second round and beyond. So why would you invest that, especially when, you know, there's guys that you could use immediately and could have a dramatic impact on your team? And no, I'm not talking about quarterbacks. you know,
not an immediate impact, but there's some people who do think that, to be completely honest. So, like, wide receiver wise, Claypool was a second round pick. Deontay Johnson was a third round pick. And James Washington and Juju were both second round picks. Sammy Coates was a third rounder. Dre Archer was a third rounder. So they're bad, like 500. Well, Marcus Wheaton was a third rounder. Because I'm just going down the list. I'm going down the list.
Come on. He was running back.
I don't know what he wasn't the offensive weapon that Jalen Samuels was.
He was a nothing. Yeah, he was a nothing.
You got Manny Sanders in the third round and Antonio Brown in the sixth in the same draft, which is always interesting. Mike Wallace was a third round pick. And then you go 2008 was Lima Swede in the second. That's probably who you were thinking of. Yep. And Santonio Holmes, 2006, first round, 25th overall, the last first round pick of the Bill Cowher era, which is pretty interesting stuff. But yeah, I was talking about all that quarterback stuff and trades and everything else. And it's like, okay, Ben's going to come out of retirement. The Steelers are going to get Baker Mayfield. They're going to trade up for Desmond Ridder. Yeah, so now they have six quarterbacks in their room. Oh, and then some people want Josh Dobbs back. Or some people don't even realize that he is like a free agent, that he's not signed on the team. They don't even realize he's not there. And I know I picked on him, and I've said, like, last year, you look at this as far as the trajectory and what the Steelers are trying to tell us here. Now, he's still sitting out there. Doesn't mean that they just won't sign him and bring him to camp, depending on what happens in the draft and whatnot. Or what's going to happen is they need an arm for the rookie camp. They will. So whether they draft someone or they just bring someone in, could be, I'm trying to think, there was like somebody's backup. It may have been Deshaun Watson's. It was like a guy that you never heard of or saw, and they never really got to play. They were a four-year college player, but they never got to play behind somebody big. And they came in and were throwing the ball around. I forget what the name is, but I was like, who's this guy? And then you have that with Duck Hodges, and then they end up getting invited and getting signed and kick someone else. Like, I think Kevin Hogan. I think Kevin Hogan was the guy that was the QB4, was going to be the QB4 that year. So, what you do with like these six, you're going to have six quarterbacks. Dobbs would be like a seventh. And Dobbs, of course, didn't make the team last year. Everybody saw him on the sidelines. He was placed on injured reserve before the season started, so he's ineligible to return. Now, Rico Bussey, wide receiver, he was wearing 84, the clown's number, and he had a pretty impressive camp. He got hurt. He got, I think, released, some type of injury designation, but they brought him back and then put him on a practice squad injured reserve and then even reactivated him later in the season and then signed him to a future reserves contract. That's a lot different career trajectory, especially when you're talking about a team that has maybe a need for quarterback. It would seem a little odd they wouldn't do the same thing for Josh Dobbs if they were that interested in bringing Josh Dobbs back.
Yes.
But, and I know you've always said this, okay, there's a lot of people that are either like, cut either Mason Rudolph or Dwayne Haskins. Take your pick. They've already crowned Mitch Trubisky, who's making not even like $1 million more base salary, no incentives. So if he doesn't win the job, he's making the same amount of money almost as Mason Rudolph. I'm going to continue to point out that those contracts, that contract does not force anyone to play Mitch Trubisky if he stinks, okay?
But absolutely.
And you've said this, but why would anybody trade for Mason Rudolph if you know he's just going to get cut? And what would they trade? It's not like he's really played. This is like, I don't know. I know that Jimmy Garoppolo was a second-round pick, and he had that Tom Brady rub. And that was just like fool's gold, getting some type of trade for him. A one-year contract. They knew that maybe he would be a hot commodity in free agency, which I never understood with 94 career pass attempts. So maybe it's like more of the unknown when it came to Jimmy G versus got to see Mason play with a bunch of scrubs too for a season, 10 games so far.
What would you get for him? You're not going to get much. Absolutely. It's not like you're going to get a second or a third or a fourth round pick. You're going to get like a fifth or a sixth because of exactly what you said, but you could potentially get something that is better than nothing if you can. Look, we've seen the Steelers front office make these kind of deals with people that they were flat out going to cut and release and get something for nothing. So it's not inconceivable. Inconceivable! I'm sorry, I had to do the Princess Bride quote. But
you use that word, like, but you don't know what it means.
I think you use that word a lot, but you do not know what it means. No, that's not the quote. I do not think it means what you think it means.
Yes, something of that. I butcher them all the time, man.
But here's the key. Like, I am fine with trading Mason Rudolph if Trubisky outperforms him at camp, right? That's when I'm fine. Like, I don't think it'll happen pre-draft. I don't think anything like that will occur. I think if they suddenly see somebody, unless, quite honestly, some idiotic team figures we aren't going to get to draft the quarterback we want, we got to have somebody because we don't have anybody in our stable. At least he's got starting experience. We'll give you something for him, and then he could be gone. Do I think it's likely? I told you this last time. It's like less than 5%. Maybe less than 2%. It's not probably going to happen, but it could happen.
I don't know, man. I mean, they got a fifth round or a sixth rounder for Josh Dobbs.
I know. That's what I mean.
It's crazy, but teams need. But don't the Steelers need a quarterback? So if he had any value in a trade, are you feeling that comfortable with Dwayne Haskins as your backup if Mitch gets hurt? Gets dinged.
I don't feel comfortable with the group we have, including Trubisky. So what difference does it make?
I'm a little more bullish on all of them, but I'm just saying it's like all of them also like terrify me as well. It's like glass half empty and full. I look at it both ways.
I can't say this strongly enough. If we are leaning on the quarterback to get us to the promised land, we are in dire straits. This is not who this team is going to be next year. It is not going to be a team led by quarterback play. Yes, quarterback play has to be consistent and solid and stable and can't lose games for you, but it's going to be on whether or not this team can run the ball.
Yeah, well, see, that's what some we got some other comments to close out as far as like, okay, Tyrann Mathieu. and says the Steelers aren't going to be a Super Bowl contender over the next few seasons, so why sign Tyrann Mathieu? The team should be more concerned about building their future. And it's like, well, they do need a they need a starting strong safety, okay? And if you're talking about, like, okay, they also talked about, same person, by the way, talked about you're signing Tyrann Mathieu, who's nearly 30 years old. He's 29. Or not in lieu of extending Deontay Johnson, who's 25. I've never heard that argument in my life. I thought that was like an April Fool's thing. Never heard anybody say that before. But, like, what are the Steelers need a starter on this defense. You can make the defense elite. Now, I understand that there were problems with the defense last year, and we alluded to all the different injuries and not having T.J. Watt or Joe Hayden for a lot of games, like about a quarter of the games with various injuries, time in and out, Stephon Tuitt, Tyson Alualu, all kinds of different problems there. But if you have a chance to add this elite player and make the defense really good, like how much worse can the offense be than last year's offense? It can't be much worse. I think most of our rosy memories come from where, you know, they're getting throttled like 29-7 by the Vikings and all of a sudden score 21 points in the fourth quarter because the defense just went into prevent mode and fell asleep. You know, those things might not happen on the flip side of it, but all the rest of it, the other three quarters, is very much likely. So don't you want the defense to at least give your offense a fighting chance, like get them on the field and hope the offense can do more than three and outs? Like that's where I'd be with the Tyrann Mathieu deal. But the other part of this was the dream draft that somebody put up. And I'm Jordan Davis. Yeah, great. And then there was an edge rusher and a linebacker. Those the first three picks, all defense. And then it would make the Steelers defense elite. And it's the same person that's saying, don't sign Tyrann Mathieu because the Steelers don't have a chance to be in this Super Bowl contender. It's like, well, which one is it? And why aren't you using some of this draft capital on offense? Are there not still holes on the offense? I mean, if Stephon Tuitt doesn't come back, that could be an April Fool's thing from what we've heard in some of the comments. But you got an edge rusher that's not going to get on the field, 20% or less of the snaps, unless TJ gets hurt or Alex Highsmith gets hurt, and then another linebacker, an inside linebacker. When you got Miles Jack, Devin Bush, you're still going to have Spilly in there. You've got Gilbert and Johnson. I mean, I'm not saying that all these guys are top flight, but we're talking about a third-round pick on a linebacker.
Yeah.
I don't see the sense in that versus a third-round pick wide receiver. Okay, that makes a lot more sense, but this is, once again, it's not really an April Fool's. This is some of the stuff that makes me think it's April Fool's.
Yes. They're going to draft a wide receiver second or third round. One of those two rounds, assume it's going to be a wide receiver. There is a need. That is one of the biggest glaring needs that they have that they need to fill. So they're going to draft a wide receiver at some point in this draft. And it probably won't be super late. But an inside linebacker? Not yet. Not unless value is absurd. Right. You know, you're talking about the level of like Ryan Shazier falling to them because they didn't think he was going to be there, or a Bud Dupree falling to them because they didn't think he was going to be there. I mean, you're talking, it has to be a gross talent that is just sitting there and they're like, well, crap, we can't pass on this guy. Otherwise, no, they're going to give Devin Bush the one more chance to return to rookie Devin Bush form and see if he can earn his fifth year option and maybe an extension of some other kind and see what happens, especially with somebody like Miles Jack playing next to him and see what that tandem does.
Oh, I'm glad they're not going to put his name.
Yeah.
I'm glad you brought up Miles Jack. Cause that was my last point. Miles Jack how old is Miles Jack, by the way? 25,
11 to 12.
Yeah, that's all plausible. Just like April 31st.
Yeah.
My man's here is 26 years old, 2 years averaging $8 million per year. Or would you rather have to be 32 years old, Bobby Wagner, who just signed 5 years, $50 million to the Los Angeles Rams? Thank you, Rams. Did not want him with the Baltimore Ravens, but
no.
Holy cow. We said this. I know my Zach, some combination of us all were talking about this. $10 million per year for a guy that's going to be 32 years old versus 26-year-old guy that's taking a pay cut, basically.
Nope. Thank you very much, Rams. Go ahead and spend that money.
That's like the Von Miller contract, too.
Yeah.
It's not an April. It's not an April Fool's. 5 for 50. He's staying in his same division, staying out on the West Coast and everything like that. Gets to play against his former team. Yeah, that's all great. But when you're looking at this from a long-term perspective, maybe Wagner only plays two of those 5 years on the contract, retires, or, you know, I know the Rams, this is the Super Bowl window that's still open. That's very appealing. But come on now. Miles Jack, cheaper, younger, and in 2 years, he's maybe signing an extension and staying in Pittsburgh. And maybe, hopefully, I got some high expectations, Brian. Maybe the next James Ferrier type signing here. So I would love it.
Anything is possible. I'd love it. But we'll see.
One more trivia question for you. April Fools or not, James Ferrier played an awful long time in the NFL. You tend to forget that he played 5 seasons with the New York Jets before he came to the Steelers. At what age was his final year and when he retired?
34.
36.
Ah!
2011. Pretty close, but
total,
yeah.
Total man. Guess. Pulled wow. It right out of my boot.
10 seasons with the Steelers, believe it or not.
Yeah, right. Oh yeah.
That doesn't come very often with the free agent. Brian, I know we're up against it. Thank you for joining me on this April Fool's Day. I don't like to just trick people just straight out. Some of the goofy things that are out there, some of these storylines, having a little bit of fun, and hope to have you back here soon, maybe even get a trifecta going with the Flash. We've got a little thing going. He's got the hair. He's not into the hat game. Too bad.
Well, I'm looking forward to the three of us getting on a pod and seeing what the heck happens. I know that makes work for you in the layout and all that, but I don't really care.
I'm always tweaking it. Take a look at it the way it is today. Always tweaking it. But on the other hand, hey, maybe I could take a break and you two could just have a shot at it.
It's all good too. It's all good. You can take a break,
which is fine. Which is fine with me. So, hey, thanks once again for taking time out of your busy schedule. And the same to everyone who's supporting the platform here. Of course, don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. Until next time, my name's Joe, and his name's Brian. Have a happy April Fool's Day out there. Don't get hurt. Be safe, be good, and we'll catch you later.
We would like to thank you for listening and remind our listeners to follow us on social media and our website, www.steelcityunderground.com.